staff reports. Tim Price, I'm being told you have a report for us.
Yeah, brief update for the board and something we'll have to follow up on in the future, but we were notified recently that the real estate team at Sigular Guff is leaving. The leadership has left. The remainder of the team is expected to depart within the next several months. So we are currently working with Sigular Guff to identify new leadership and determine what the plan forward is. We have about $91 million in net asset value across three real estate funds with the firm currently. So this is an area of focus for us. They have proposed an individual. We are doing due diligence now, and there is an advisory board meeting set up for next week to discuss with the other limited partners. So this may be something that we'll probably have further updates for on the board, but I wanted to bring you up to speed on what's going on right now.
Yes, Scott.
Tim, question. Do you know if this is the group that Chi-Chi and I met with, I want to say, a year and a half ago in New York, where we were considering investments on the European side? But I'm fairly confident it was the real estate group we were meeting with. I thought it was, anyway.
Without knowing the details of that particular meeting, it may have been. This is the team that's led by Jim Coral. So Jim left, took a couple of folks with him, and Ness leads their European team. He's remaining with the firm for a few more months just to be a bridge till they get a permanent solution in place. But I can't comment on that particular meeting, but they do have European investments within the real estate team.
Okay. Yeah, it probably is. I can talk to them offline. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
Anyone else have anything for Tim? Okay. Thank you, Tim. And Gail.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to mention that in the first few months of the shelter in place, as far as retirement applications go, we saw pretty much in the realm of what we typically see for those months. But I did want to mention since July through the July through October period, there was an over 60% increase versus last year in a number of applications received. And for the first half of November, we've already received what we received last year for the full month of November. I don't know if this is going to, you know, if this trend is going to continue or not. Sometimes, you know, we'll have a month, you know, blip here or there, and then it's followed by a lower number the following month. But we have had a consecutive number now of increased applications being submitted. So I just wanted to make the board aware of that.
Thank you, Gail. On to 13B, outside professionals. I believe they've all left. So 13C, trustee comments. Anyone have a trustee comment?
I would just quickly, I have my sort of traditional notes on the SACRS conference, and I'm going to ignore all of them except for the last one. Aging in America, current realities and planning for the future. The moderator was our own Dr. McDonald. Would you like to make any comments on that? It would be of value to the board.
Thanks all of you for, I hope you guys got something out of that. I appreciate you, whoever attended that.
I attended and I feel a lot older now.
Jerry was offended by the use of the word oldies, but after I explained to him that that was a term of endearment, and he felt better. So thank you. If you all have any feedback that I can take back to the board at SACRS, this was our first virtual conference. So how did you guys feel about the whole process, and the did you find value in the experience and so forth?
I thought it worked pretty well. I was able to handle the logistics of signing in, which is not always easy for me. And I was able to do that without the assistance of a 14-year-old neighbor. I was taken aback a bit by the presentation by the epidemiologist. I was ready to open a vein about 3 minutes after he was done, because I thought he may be telling it like it is, but dear God, there was no hope in his presentation, none whatsoever. So anyhow, it's the real world, I get it, but wow, this guy was tough.
Okay.
I thought it worked. It was slick. As Jerry mentioned, even I figured out how to get on for the most part. I never could get to the evaluations piece, but all the rest, the actual individual courses worked just fine, and I'd give them high marks.
Hey, John, the evaluations were on the SACRA's website, which is a separate, different website than what we were on for the conference. I figured that out later.
As you can tell, I hadn't figured it out yet. What I did is go to Liz and Justine and say, here are the number of hours I had.
Well, that's a pretty good point. I'll make sure to get that feedback to the board. If it wasn't obvious that you need, how to get to your evaluations, because we sure did harass people about doing them. She couldn't figure out how to do it. It's like, okay, McDonald, shut up, because
Salima sent out an email about the evaluations, of how to get to the evaluations. And all you had to do was go online to SACRA's website and go to the conference, and it has evaluations on there. And everything was already in there. I think you did a great job of getting everything. I mean, it was well organized and everything worked smoothly with her. I think it was very good. And thanks, Salima, for it too.
Yeah. Quite impressive.
Thanks, Lee.
I thought, Todd, I give a little update on the business meeting for those that decided it wasn't really all that interesting. I know Louie was there. And it was a pretty standard boilerplate type business meeting. The bylaws that we approved were approved by the entire SACRA's committee, the conference delegates. But there was one really interesting thing that came up that was discussed quite a bit, was some proposed legislation by Los Angeles County. And their proposal was that they wanted to provide a rebuttable presumption related to a service-connected permanent incapacity due to COVID-19, and would provide that members are presumed to have contracted COVID-19 arising out of and in the course of employment, unless controverted by other evidence. SACRA's legislative committee was not inclined to support that. Their position was that this is more of an employee benefit, and the retirement systems are responsible for providing benefits, not creating them. So there was, some discussion about that, and many people felt that either LA, if they were strong, felt strongly about it, they could bring it forward on their own. Gosh knows they're big enough and have enough lobbyists, or the employee associations or unions, could bring that forward. But there was also feeling that the legislation might be a little bit, or the idea might be a little premature. Nobody really knows what or if any, incapacity going to result from the infections. We know that there are some long-standing problems that have occurred with people that have COVID, but is that going to be sufficient to be considered a disability that you'd need to be retired from? And the other thing was that they were concerned that coming up with something like this could basically give somebody that has only worked there for a month or two the ability to claim a disability retirement when they don't even have tenure. I mean, they haven't been there long enough to really to get the seat warm. So there were a lot of people that were discussing that and weren't really too interested. Vivian Gray, their new president, from Los Angeles County, and to me it seemed like she was a little bit biased in favor of this and was kind of pushing to get the opinions of the delegates who were there. But I think basically common sense prevailed, and they decided that the best thing to do was just kind of drop this and let Los Angeles either come back with something that was a little bit more palatable or just go ahead and run with it themselves. So that was, you know, pretty much the only thing that was interesting there. One side note is, let everybody know, in case they weren't aware, that Salima said that Von Hughes's book, the U.S. Public Pensions Handbook, is available to all the trustees. They will send them to you as part of your conference registration, but you need to send Salima a note and tell her that you would like to have it, because they're only sending them out to the people that are actually asking for them. So, but other than that, that's kind of what happened at the business meeting.
Mike, I think on the presumed causation or with respect to COVID, I think that it was mainly talking about frontline workers, first responders and so forth, and essential employees who were at risk at increased exposure to COVID. So, I mean, it's something to consider. I mean, if you're in fire or in law enforcement, you've only been on the job for a couple of months, and you go to a fire and you get injured in the line of duty, or if you're a cop and you get injured in the line of duty, then that could be potentially the same effect, I think. So this was not kind of an across the board, you know, someone who's in a cubicle, not exposed to anybody. And then I think it was more of the frontline folks that this would apply to.
You may have gotten more of a outside discussion than I did, but I did not pick that up in the meeting. Had I would have felt much more strongly in favor of it, but I really didn't hear that it was going to be first line, first responder type people. I got the distinct impression that it was going to be anybody that was a member of the county employee system. So I don't know, Louie, what did you hear? You were there.
I got with Dave, but I agree with the group that it should be negotiated by the association and the employer. It's a presumptive, and that's how presumptives work. It's to get the legislation, it's usually negotiated, and they carry the legislation together. I was for first line, it was for first line people. But as Mike says, I mean, the presumptive part of it is, I mean, proving it that they got it at work is going to be a real problem. I mean, the presumptive part of it. Because how can they say that they didn't get it from somebody else and it wasn't at work? And that's going to be the big controversy on that.
I wasn't at the meeting, and I first time hearing about this, but if anybody thinks this would end up being stopped at first responders, I think that's probably unlikely. Secondly, I wasn't around at the time. It was probably during the, believe it or not, Scott, it was probably the Goody Knight administration in California. But I think this presumption was actually a result of legislative action, as opposed to any action or flag carrying by Sackers. So I agree with the idea that I don't think Sackers is in the business of creating benefits. It's up to the legislature or those people that are negotiating benefits.
Okay, so maybe we should table this discussion. If you want it brought back as an agendized item, we can have further discussion, getting a little far astray from just reporting out.
Well, I think just leave it till it goes back to Sackers and see what happens. See if anybody goes, we'll get information on it once it starts going through to legislation or whoever's county is going to push it besides O'Sara.
I think it's safe to assume that our chairman is double parked somewhere.
I haven't been in a car in about a week and a half, so highly unlikely.
The chairman's been drinking a lot of water. I think that's what the issue is.
So the question on this point, and it just got raised, I have understood from prior board discussions that we have had over the past 6 or 7 years on various topics that SACRS itself did not take positions on legislation. It did not submit legislative proposals and so on. So I'm curious about that, because we've discussed that on numerous issues and topics about whether SACRS should or shouldn't do something and so on. So I'm intrigued about what the actual role is or isn't, just so that I fully understand it in terms of particularly advocacy for a particular piece of legislation. But that's another subject. I just would like to get briefed on it someday just to make sure I understand it.
Yeah, SACRS does have folks who lobby in Sacramento, and they do co-sponsor some legislation. So there is a political side. I mean, with respect to pensions and so forth, not necessarily one slant or the other, but they try to stay in the middle.
That's true, but my recollection is that it's typically not endorsing the creation of a new benefit. That would be a new line for SACRS to cross.
Okay.
Any other trustee comments? Don't take it personally, Jerry. I'll just remind trustees that there is an audit committee meeting after this one. I'd ask the chair if he would like to set a time to reconvene for that meeting.
We are
currently 1:38.
It's 1:38. How about 1:40? Does that give everyone enough time?
Well, it helps with my weight loss plan, but you know.
I think you guys should be authorized to order DoorDash, because I think that's a lot of heavy lifting.
Can you give us a couple more minutes, Mr. Chair?
All right, 1:45.
Wow, great.
Well, just bear in mind that there's staff on this line, and I don't know if they've had their lunch yet or anything.
You're using up our time, Todd. The clock is ticking.
The chair said, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think we're going to have a long meeting.
Okay.
So with the hope that we start sooner, we'll finish sooner for that more leisurely lunch.
Okay, so 1:45 it is.
1:45.
Okay. Maybe during the meeting.
Yeah. Right.
I think we can stay right here electronically.
Yes, yeah. I believe the intention was to use the same link, so everyone could just mute and come back on at the appointed time.
45.
So with that, I'll just note for either Justine or Luce that Johnny did leave. So in the minutes, there will be 7 people voting for adjournment. And with that, meeting's adjourned.